You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
At his State of the Union address, President Obama claimed he was optimistic that the future of job growth in America was bright and that unlocking the potential for new and existing high-tech industries was the key. Already, the president said, there is pent-up demand for new high-tech workers.
Growing industries in science and technology have twice as many openings as we have workers who can do the job. Think about that. Openings at a time when millions of Americans are looking for work.
Calling for leadership in high technology, of course, is not new for presidents, but this may be a critical fork in the road for the U.S. economy. And so we reached out to Dr. Shirley Ann Jackson, president of Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute in New York State. She's a leader in formulating policy on technology and manufacturing in the U.S. We caught up with her at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, where she explained that from where she sits, there's a high-tech revolution taking shape in the U.S.
I'm a big proponent of structuring an overall innovation ecosystem that requires a three-part partnership that exists among universities, industry, and government, and building public-private partnerships on that basis. The universities play an often unrecognized but critical role in generating the innovations on which great industries are built. Obviously, they play a role in educating the next generation of innovators, of leaders. And in many ways, they provide unique partnerships with local companies, providing shared infrastructure and even technical support. And so they have impact on local and regional economies as well.
You know, one of the themes of the president's State of the Union address was just this frustration. He wouldn't describe it as that, but certainly evoking the theme of dysfunction between Congress and the White House, and a sense that is widely shared in America that government doesn't work. What is your frustration, or how do you control your cynicism about engaging in partnerships with a government that is so so little regarded in the United States as a way of creating functional job growth?
Well, I look at it like this. You know, I respect the system we have. There may be difficulties in it. As you know, I am on PCAS, the President's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology. It's a group of scientists and people in technology who offer our best advice to the president, to the administration. We think things we've recommended have been taken seriously, and the president has launched a number of initiatives, such as the Advanced Manufacturing Partnership, coming directly out of a advanced manufacturing report that PCAST delivered to the president. I had the privilege of co-chairing the study that led to that with Eric Schmidt of Google. So I see evidence of things being taken seriously. Of course, there are some things that require legislative action, and that is difficult. Although when I individually talk with members of the Congress, I find a number of them responsive. I think the real issue is this entanglement with what is going on vis-a-vis budget deficits and the overall debt of the United States. Nonetheless, investment in those things that can lead to a new future, can regenerate manufacturing, create advanced manufacturing in this country, and allow us to exploit developments in new technological areas and to educate and train people in those areas.
Where do you think the factories are going to be built? What sectors of the economy, what areas in high tech do you think have the greatest chance for actual building of new manufacturing facilities in the U.S. in the next 5 to 10 years, without being very specific?
Well, I think there are many breakthroughs in nanotechnology, in biotechnology, in the life sciences, and increasingly at the intersection of nano and bio, where one is actually looking at creating new materials, nanostructured materials, and integrating them into living systems, and the converse, to create therapeutics, to create new systems that have unique properties. In fact, we even have faculty looking at that kind of marriage to create additives that can be put into paint to kill antibiotic-resistant bacteria on contact. So those are the kinds of things. But one has to understand the limits of how much living systems can be integrated into those. But that's where there's a great opportunity space. So those, that broad set of technologies of the golden triangle, nanotechnology, biotechnology, and information technology, these are really interesting areas. But in addition, one of our greatest challenges is in the area of energy and energy security. The need to move to a new energy future, to use what we have in a more environmentally sustainable way, but as well to innovate the new technologies that will sustain the economy going forward and to design systems in ways that are more efficient.
Talking about what the president referred to in his State of the Union address as an optimistic future for the United States regarding manufacturing, we're talking about it with Dr. Shirley Ann Jackson, who's the president of Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. She is on the line live from Davos at the World Economic Forum. Dr. Jackson, I'm wondering if you noticed, although I'm sure you did, that the president really put higher education, colleges and universities, front and center in his State of the Union address. Listen to this.
So let me put colleges and universities on notice. If you can't stop tuition from going up, the funding you get from taxpayers will go down. Higher education can't be a luxury. It is an economic imperative that every family in America should be able to afford.
What's the message there from the president to a leader in higher education such as yourself?
Well, I think that one understands the frustration that many families may feel in terms of the access that their children may have to higher education. And certainly in this economy, there's a great deal of worry about affording it. Having said that, what drives the costs of a college education are things that in many ways are not totally in the control of universities, things that other enterprises deal with, healthcare costs, energy costs. These are things that themselves drive our costs. In addition, more and more is expected out of universities, and so the kind of systems they put into place have expense associated with them. Having said that, I think it is incumbent upon universities to manage themselves in ever more efficient ways. But I think people also have to understand that the price is not the cost when young people apply to college. That one can look at a tuition, but in fact, most students get quite a bit of financial aid, and that's certainly true at Rensselaer. So we have a huge tuition discount, and so the value for the money is very high.
Finally, before we go, are you worried that high tech will actually disrupt higher education by putting more and more open source content and teaching online and really changing forever the brick and mortar campus model for higher ed?
I think there is a great opportunity relative to technology. Obviously, with the open source approach to putting more content on the web, that creates more accessibility to fundamental information that can be the basis of education. I think there are new models for using the marriage of human interaction with technology to create more and new pedagogical approaches. There will be things that will be done by distance, but the education process as well is not purely one of people looking at lines of information, but in fact the interactivity that comes from interacting with a teacher. And I think the challenge is understanding how to meet our young people where they are. They've grown up in a digital world, and then to use those very technologies and the fact that the students have grown up that way, they're the digital natives, as people say, to in fact shape new ways so one can create new kinds of interactivity.
Indeed. Challenges and revolutionary challenges ahead for higher education. We're talking with Dr. Shirley Ann Jackson, president of Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, live from the World Economic Forum in Davos. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. Enjoyed the discussion.